Here's your fair value brief for Saturday, August 8, 2026. Gold and silver just had their best week in months, with gold climbing 2.3% to $4,340.70 an ounce, and silver jumping 3.1% to $63.33. The spark? July's weak jobs report, which made traders rethink how aggressive the Fed will be on rates. Meanwhile, AI infrastructure is getting a nuclear-powered boost. Amazon dropped $2 billion on a new data center in California, and SoftBank pledged $10 billion for AI compute facilities, both running on nuclear energy. The goal isn't just more computing power. It's locking in low-carbon energy that could help bring down core inflation faster than the Fed expects. And then there's the Strait of Hormuz, where things are getting shady, literally. Tankers are turning off their transponders to avoid Iranian attacks, which means 20% of the world's seaborne oil is now moving in the dark. Even if diplomacy smooths things over, the risk of a sudden supply shock is real. Now, to the markets. Friday wrapped up with a tug-of-war between two big forces, the Fed's sudden dovish shift and rising geopolitical tensions. July's jobs report came in way below expectations, just 77,000 new jobs, far short of the 100,000 forecast. That's got traders betting the Fed might hit pause in September. Gold shot up 2.3% to $4,340.70, while silver rose 3.1% to $63.33 as the dollar weakened. Over in the Strait of Hormuz, things are anything but calm. Iran's threats and the rise of dark shipping, where tankers go off the grid to avoid detection, have turned one of the world's most critical oil choke points into a black box. Brent crude inched up 1.3% Friday to $83.55 a barrel, but the real worry is that 20% of global seaborne oil is now moving undetected. Even a small disruption could send prices spiking. And AI? It's not just about chatbots anymore. This week, Amazon announced a $2 billion nuclear-powered data center in California, and SoftBank committed $10 billion to AI compute facilities, also nuclear-backed. Microsoft, meanwhile, just rolled out new AI chips that are 40% more efficient. This isn't just tech expansion, it's a strategic move to secure low-cost, low-carbon power for scaling AI. And if these efficiency gains spread across industries like logistics and manufacturing, they could start cutting costs and inflation faster than the Fed expects. Here's the key takeaway. Three themes will dominate the week ahead: Fed policy shifts, geopolitical risks, and AI-driven cost cuts. Now, the big story, the Fed's sudden pause, and why AI could speed up rate cuts. Friday's jobs report threw a wrench in the Fed's plans. Instead of the expected 100,000 new jobs, we got 77,000, with unemployment ticking down to 4.1%. The message? The labor market is cooling faster than anyone thought. Markets reacted fast. Traders are now betting the Fed is more likely to hold steady in September. Gold surged 2.3% to $4,340.70, and silver climbed 3.1% to $63.33 as the dollar slipped. But here's what most analysts are missing. This isn't just about jobs. Two big forces could push the Fed toward earlier rate cuts than anyone's expecting. First, the labor market is weakening faster than the Fed's models predicted. Wage growth, now at $37.62 an hour, is finally slowing, a sign that rate hikes are doing their job. But the second factor is less obvious: AI's growing deflationary effect. This week's announcements mark a turning point. Amazon's $2 billion nuclear-powered data center, SoftBank's $10 billion AI compute pledge, Microsoft's 40% efficiency gains from custom AI chips, and NVIDIA's $3 billion investment in a new AI chip venture. These aren't just big numbers. They signal that AI isn't just another tech boom. It's a productivity revolution. Here's why it matters. As companies like Microsoft and Amazon scale up AI, they're rewriting the cost structure for entire industries, logistics, manufacturing, even healthcare. If these gains spread, they'll lower unit costs and chip away at the core inflation the Fed is trying to tame. Right now, the Fed is holding rates at 5.25 to 5.5%, calling its approach data-dependent. But the data is about to get a lot more complicated. The next CPI report, out August 14th, could show core inflation falling below 3% for the first time in years. And if AI-driven productivity gains start showing up in corporate earnings, the Fed might have to act sooner than expected. We could see rate cuts by December 2026, a full year ahead of earlier forecasts. Three big implications here. 1. Lower borrowing costs. Mortgages and loans could get cheaper sooner than we thought. 2. Peak savings yields. Those high-yield accounts paying over 5%, they'll start to come down. And 3. AI stock momentum. Lower rates favor growth stocks, and AI is leading the charge. The wild card? Geopolitics. If tensions in the Strait of Hormuz escalate or Ukraine flares up again, oil prices could spike, reigniting inflation just as the Fed is thinking about shifting course. Now, the big picture. Markets sent mixed signals Friday. Bonds were cautious, stocks were confident. The divide comes down to one question. Is the economy slowing enough to change the Fed's plans? Bonds are saying yes. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped to 4.69% Friday as traders bet the Fed's hike cycle is over. With July's jobs report showing just 77,000 new jobs and downward revisions to past months, the Fed's 2% inflation target suddenly looks within reach without further hikes. The message from bonds? Rate cuts could come by year-end. Stocks, though, are telling a different story. The S&P 500 closed at another record Friday, with futures up 0.6% overnight. The Nasdaq, led by AI and tech, rose 1.2%. Here, the bet is that AI productivity gains will offset any economic weakness. Amazon's $2 billion data center plan and SoftBank's $10 billion AI pledge signal a new phase of capital-intensive tech growth. Oil, meanwhile, is telling its own story. Brent crude rose 1.3% Friday to $83.55 a barrel, but the real issue is the Hormuz dark shipping crisis. Tankers disabling transponders to avoid Iranian attacks have created a black box in global oil flows. The dollar fell 0.4% Friday to its lowest since early July, a move that helps U.S. exporters but risks keeping import prices and inflation elevated. Crypto moved quietly. Bitcoin edged up 0.1% overnight to $64,955, but the real action is in tokenized real-world assets. Deposits in tokenized treasuries, gold, and equities have grown to $7.4 billion over the past year, even as traditional DeFi activity slows. And the VIX? At 14.9, Wall Street's fear gauge is near yearly lows. That's not complacency. It's confidence that the Fed remains in control. Around the world, this weekend's geopolitical risks center on two hotspots, the Strait of Hormuz and Russia's war in Ukraine. Both are testing the limits of economic warfare, and both could permanently reshape trade flows. In Hormuz, Iran's threats and tankers disabling transponders have turned the strait, a route for 20% of global seaborne oil, into a black box. Daily transits have dropped from 88 to 130 vessels down to just 10. The risk isn't a prolonged closure. It's a miscalculation that spikes oil prices before markets can adjust. In Russia's war, the economic battlefield is shifting. The U.S. Senate just passed the Lindsey O. Graham Sanctioning Russia and Iran Act, authorizing 100% tariffs on countries buying Russian oil and gas. The bill targets Russia's energy revenues, but China and India, Russia's top customers, show no signs of compliance. The result? A clash between U.S. sanctions and global energy realities. Japan's yen remains weaker than expected, trading at 157.745 to the dollar, despite the Bank of Japan's tightening signals. The BOJ's next move might involve adjusting the yield curve to make Japanese bonds more attractive without full-scale intervention. Europe, meanwhile, is scrambling for energy. The EU's phased-in ban on Russian LNG is forcing a search for alternatives. Germany, once Russia's largest gas buyer, is now pushing hard into hydrogen and nuclear. But French energy giant TotalEnergies warns that Europe's gas storage levels are below normal for this time of year, risking winter shortages. And China? It's quietly stockpiling more than just oil and gas. Beijing is hoarding copper, lithium, and rare earths, securing supplies from Congo's copper mines to Australia's lithium deposits. The bet? That Western sanctions will disrupt global flows and China wants to be ready. Bottom line, the world is fragmenting. Sanctions, export bans, and choke points are rewiring trade in ways that will outlast today's crises. Now, the companies making news. Airbnb surged 17.4% after reporting record revenue and stronger than expected bookings, driven by international travel. Margins improved as more reservations shifted to its app, cutting third-party fees. Palantir extended its AI-driven rally, climbing 10.3% Friday and 30% over the past month as defense and intelligence contracts grow. Uber rose 6.5% after beating earnings and reporting better driver supply. Its expansion into grocery and alcohol delivery is gaining traction. Qualcomm and Marvel led a semiconductor rebound, up 4.7% and 3.9%, respectively, as investors returned to chip stocks. Coinbase gained 5.6%, supported by a crypto rebound and growth in tokenized real-world assets like treasuries and gold. Tesla added 2.8% Friday, but remains down 16.6% this month amid rising EV competition. All eyes are now on its Dojo supercomputer project. Shopify climbed 2.8%, capping a 27% monthly gain as small business spending shifts to its platform. Oracle rose 2.5%, bringing its one-week gain to 13.2% as it becomes a key player in AI infrastructure. Thermo Fisher gained 2.4%, extending its one-month rally to 16.4% on renewed biotech demand. And the VIX fell 1.6% to 14.9, its lowest since early July, reflecting either confidence or potential complacency in the market. From Washington, the Fed's sudden pause is the talk of the town this weekend. July's jobs report didn't just miss expectations, it changed the narrative. With only 77,000 jobs added and downward revisions, the Fed's hawkish stance looks shakier. But the Fed isn't united. July's FOMC meeting saw three dissents: Cleveland's Beth Hammack, Minneapolis's Neil Kashkari, and Dallas's Lori Logan, all pushing for an immediate 25 basis point hike. The hawks argue that inflation, with core CPI still at 3.3%, remains too high, and the labor market, while cooling, is still tight. The challenge? The data is about to get messy. Next week's CPI report could show core inflation falling below 3% for the first time in years. If AI-driven productivity gains start showing up in corporate earnings, the hawks may lose ground. And then there's the political wildcard, Donald Trump. The former president has publicly urged the Fed to cut rates, arguing that high rates hurt growth. Bottom line, the Fed is in wait-and-see mode, but the clock is ticking. The next 2 weeks, with CPI, retail sales, and industrial production data, will determine whether the Fed holds, hikes, or hints at cuts. Now, let's go under the hood. Focus. AI compute expansion, powered by low-carbon nuclear energy, will begin reducing core inflation and could force the Fed to cut rates sooner than expected. Why now? Current data show the labor market cooling. Job growth is declining, wage growth is slowing, and at the same time, we're seeing a surge in AI infrastructure spending. Amazon's $2 billion data center and SoftBank's $10 billion AI compute centers, both nuclear-powered, will come online within 12 to 18 months. These projects lock in cheap, emission-free electricity, cutting the marginal cost of compute. The result? Lower operating expenses for AI-heavy firms and faster deployment of productivity-boosting algorithms across manufacturing, logistics, and services. Productivity gains are already appearing. Microsoft reports 40% efficiency improvements from custom AI chips, and NVIDIA just committed $3 billion to a Blackstone-backed AI chip venture. If these efficiencies spread, they'll reduce unit costs and trim core inflation, the Fed's key metric. The Fed's current stance is to pause at 5.25 to 5.5%, calling itself data-dependent. Market pricing hints at modest easing, but the consensus expects any cut to be gradual. However, AI's supply-side shock could accelerate the decline in core inflation, pushing the Fed from pause to cut sooner than the 2027 to 2028 timeline many assume. The debate: will the Fed preemptively cut rates on AI productivity gains, or wait for clearer core inflation declines, risking a policy misstep? Watch for this. Core CPI, or core PCE, below 2.8% year-over-year for two consecutive months, plus non-farm productivity rising above 0.5%, AI-adjusted, would confirm the trend. A bounce in core inflation above 3% would refute it. Now, worth learning today, discounting, or how to value tomorrow's dollar today. Yesterday's check, we asked if Canada's employment change would beat, meet, or miss the forecast of plus 17.8 thousand jobs. The actual number? A loss of 12.2 thousand jobs, far worse than expected. The Canadian dollar fell, and bets on Bank of Canada rate cuts increased. Today's lesson, discounting, or how we measure the difference between a dollar today and a dollar tomorrow. You've heard the phrase, a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. But why? And how do we calculate that difference? That's discounting, the math of time and money. Let's take Amazon's $2 billion data center. Amazon didn't write a $2 billion check this week. The spending will unfold over years. So how does Amazon decide if it's worth it? They discount future cash flows. Here's how it works. Suppose the data center generates $300 million a year in profit for 10 years. Amazon's cost of capital, what it costs to borrow or the return investors expect, is 8%. So they calculate what those future $300 million payments are worth today, assuming an 8% return elsewhere. The formula is present value equals future cash flow divided by 1 plus the discount rate, raised to the power of n, where n is the number of years in the future. For year one's $300 million, the present value is 300 million divided by 1.08 to the first power, which is about $277.78 million. For year 10's $300 million, the present value is 300 million divided by 1.08 to the 10th power, which is about $137.76 million. If the sum of all 10 years exceeds $2 billion, the project is viable. If not, they walk away. Why this matters now? The Fed's discount rate. The Fed doesn't say discounting, but that's what happens when they raise or cut rates. Higher rates mean higher discount rates, so future profits are less valuable today, and companies invest less. Lower rates mean lower discount rates, so future profits are more valuable today, and companies spend more. Right now, the Fed's pause at 5.25 to 5.5% means discount rates are high. That's why growth stocks, especially AI firms whose value depends on future profits, are volatile. It's why housing is slow, with a 30-year mortgage at 6.69% making future payments less attractive. And it's why corporations favor short-term returns like buybacks over long-term projects. But if the Fed cuts rates, discount rates fall. Future profits become more valuable today, fueling stocks, housing, and long-term projects like Amazon's data centers. Discounting works in three steps. 1. Time erodes value. Money today can grow if invested. Money tomorrow can't. So tomorrow's dollar is worth less. 2. Risk demands a premium. Higher risk, or higher rates, means more discounting of future cash flows. 3. The Fed sets the baseline. When the Fed moves rates, it changes the discount rate for everything, stocks, bonds, real estate, even retirement savings. Linking to past lessons, compounding grows money forward. Discounting shrinks it backward. And remember the yield price seesaw from our bond lesson? When yields, or discount rates, rise, bond prices fall, because future payments are worth less. Why this matters to your money now? For your 401k, if the Fed cuts rates, future earnings from AI stocks become more valuable. For mortgages, lower rates mean future payments are discounted less, so banks lend more today. For savings, high rates make future dollars worth less now, which is why CDs are paying over 5% today. This is concept 27 of 83 in the Fair Value course. Now, what to watch this week? Tuesday, August 11th, US CPI for July. This inflation report could shape the Fed's September decision. Core CPI is expected to fall to 3.2% year over year. Wednesday, August 12th, US retail sales for July. A weak report would confirm economic cooling, increasing the odds of a Fed pause. Also Wednesday, Cisco earnings. As a bellwether for corporate tech spending, this one matters. Thursday, August 13th, U.S. initial jobless claims. Another increase would reinforce the labor slowdown narrative. And Thursday, the U.S. 30-year bond auction. With the 30-year yield at 5.22%, This will test long-term inflation expectations. That's it for today. See you next time.